Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. as I open up the program with a different song today. It's by the Crusaders from the album The Second Crusade. The song is entitled A Message from the Inner City. We're going to be talking about something that can definitely have to do with what's going on in the inner city, but just as well, take a look at what's happening around the world. We're going to take a look at how we respond when people need to be rescued. How we respond when people need to be rescued. I'm actually calling it, though, because we care. And I want us to allow ourselves to have our minds and our emotions, our minds and our souls, travel this discussion as we take a look at instances where people have needed to be rescued, still need to be rescued, and I want us to truly evaluate, honestly evaluate, how we respond. I'd like for us to look at how we respond mentally, emotionally, and verbally. Mentally, what are the thoughts that go through our minds? Even if we never say a word, what thoughts go through our minds as we hear about and or see the plight of people who need to be rescued? How do we respond mentally? How do we respond emotionally? Do we find ourselves having compassion well up in our hearts? Or do we find ourselves experiencing an overflow of malice and hostility? How about insensitivity, apathy? We just plain don't care. How do we respond when people need rescuing? What do we say as we watch their plights on the news, as we read about it in the papers, in the magazines, as we hear about it, as it's broadcast over the radio? How do we respond? When flames of fire destroy their beautiful homes, planted in the beauty of a forest that had helped make their dream come true. For so long, they wanted to simply be out in the wilderness, away from some of the hustle and the bustle of the world that was just moving too fast or too much for them. And their dream was to be out there in the wilderness, surrounded by the forest, with all of its visual beauty, all the beauty of its sounds, of the great creatures out there, their dream home in their dream land. Until flames of fire destroyed their beautiful homes, planted in the beauty of a forest that helped make their dream come true. Paradise lost as the home they loved was burned to the ground. How do we respond? What are our thoughts? What are emotional responses? What are our verbal responses? Do we find ourselves saying, well, you know what? They never should have put their houses there in the first place. They should have known better than to build their houses in the forest. Is that the first and the last thing that you have to say about that matter? Now, it's true that with the prevalence of fires that we have, particularly in certain parts of the country, that a person is really taking a risk by planting their home in the wilderness, in the woods, in the forest. That's a risk, no doubt. And of course, some of these places have been standing for decades and never saw any flames. Never experienced the flames of fire that can destroy so much so quickly. Do we have to hear the people talk about their losses before we begin to feel compassion for them, in spite of the risk, the fact that we know they were taking a risk when they moved there? How do we respond when people need to be rescued? How about when hurricane gusts blow their dream homes to bits, leveling it to the ground, blowing parts of their homes across the neighborhood while scattering pieces of their souls who knows where? Some states and other areas of the world are just more prone to being hit by hurricanes. I mean, the entire state, an entire large geographical area, just more susceptible to being hit by hurricanes. And these forceful winds blow people's dream homes to bits, blowing parts of their homes across the neighborhood, scattering pieces of their souls here and there. How do we respond? Do we even think about what their souls are going through? Do we have to take the time to ask ourselves, well, what color, what race are the people who are going through that? And then based on the race, we decide whether we feel sorry for them or feel hostility towards them. How do we respond when people need to be rescued? When waters breach their helpless man-made boundaries and rush into houses and entire neighborhoods, bringing filth that can contaminate and debris of all kinds that can kill. Pieces of wood, pieces of glass, flooding homes to the second floor, chasing some unfortunate victims to their rooftops as they cry out to be rescued by anyone from the waters that relentlessly pursue them. Seeing the waters come first down the street or across the street, making its way to the edge of the yard, and then to the middle of the yard, and then to the porch, to the front steps, into the house. 3 inches of filthy water covering the first floor of the house, the entire first floor. 3 inches of filthy water, tearing apart pipes and other plumbing, bringing more filth, and suddenly 3 inches of water becomes 8 inches of water, 10 inches of water, and they're running to the second floor, hoping that the water won't make it even halfway up the steps. Because if the water doesn't make it halfway up the steps, they can feel fairly confident that it won't make it to the second floor and they'll be safe until somebody can come to their rescue. But the water doesn't stop. at the foot of the steps. The water doesn't stop halfway up the steps. The water doesn't stop until it is on the second floor. How can there be that much water in the world? My home's a mile away from the ocean. And now, my second story has got to have at least 4 inches of water, and it's building. The water level is growing higher and higher. It's about to cover the entire second floor. And so they've left the second floor and made their way into the attic, where they kicked out the grate so that they could climb out of the attic onto the roof. Sitting there hoping not to lose their grip, wondering how long they'll have to be there before someone comes to their rescue, hoping that the worst will not happen. That the water from the ocean keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming. And they find that not only is the second floor flooded with water, the last thing they want to see is water beginning to inch its way up the roof. Because there have been houses, they've seen it on the TV before, houses where all you could see was the tip of the roof peeking out above the water, just barely seeing the rest of the roof entirely covered by filthy water. How do we respond when these people need to be rescued? Do we make it our business to look closely so that we can see their features, see what color they are, see their racial features so we can determine what race they are before we decide whether we feel sorry for them or whether we feel kind of glad that it's happening, or we just remain indifferent? Do we want to try to get an idea of what social class they're from and decide if they're from this social class, we'll care, but if they're from that other social class, well, too bad. How do we respond when people need rescuing? Waters relentlessly pursuing. Flames of fire destroying beautiful homes. Hurricane gusts blowing dream homes to bits. Waters breaching boundaries and relentlessly pursuing the people who are trying their best to escape those ravaging waters that can destroy. How about flames of ethnic cleansing? How do we respond mentally, emotionally, and verbally? Human beings needing rescuing. Which touches your heart more? When you learn that humans have been trapped and may be unable to escape the impending disaster, or when you hear that dogs and cats have been trapped and will almost certainly be unable to escape the impending disaster, how do we respond?